following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. All of you guys listening by live Facebook, live on YouTube, live on Rumble, we want to welcome you to the broadcast. If you're watching the rebroadcast of this, we want to welcome you as well. Listen, if you're new, do us a favor. Let us know in the comment section below that you are new and that this is your first time joining us. We'd love to hear from you. And of course, all of you regular viewers, we welcome you as well. And of course, we want to welcome all of our Apple and Spotify listeners, you guys that are listening to the broadcast rather than visually watching this. Everyone, again, thank you for joining us tonight. Of course, we have a free app. If you're new and you don't know this, we do have a free app, and it's available on Apple and Android devices. Just go to your store, your Play Store, your Apple Store, again, whatever it looks like for you. Type in End Time Headlines if you're listening to this broadcast and you're not watching the visual. Look for it. Get the free app. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be good to go. You guys are watching the visual of this. Under the description of this video where it says download our free app, just hit that link. It's going to take you there where you can get the app today. So today we are going to take a break from all the stuff going on in the Middle East, and we're going to tackle the doctrine of cessationism. So that's what we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. So let's get after it. All right, so you may be listening to this and you say, what is cessationism? Cessationism is a doctrine that teaches and believes that the spiritual gifts, and we're going to show you where all this is at in 1 Corinthians 12 in just a moment, but they teach that the spiritual gifts have ceased from operation and are no longer active among believers today, and that these gifts was only given and operated through the original 12 apostles of the New Testament church in order to authenticate the gospel. But according to cessationists, they have ceased from operation and function. And in the fourth century, they were done away with at the death of the last apostle, which was John. This belief system is mainly within the Calvinist and Reformed theologists, as well as in certain denominations of the Baptist. All right, now some of you are going to be aware of this, some of you are not, but there is a documentary that's been released by these groups called Cessationists. This is the actual title of this documentary. We're going to watch the trailer. I'm going to do a reaction video to this. We're going to break down all of this tonight, and I'm going to debunk this doctrine. I believe this doctrine is very dangerous, and I'm going to show you and I'm going to prove to you today that they're attempting to try to pull anyone who believes that the gifts of the Spirit are still available today and still operate in the church today. They're going to try to portray us as heretics, as false prophets, false doctrine, and that we are actually being used as instruments of demons. And I'm going to show you that this is what they're trying to portray all individuals who, again, you believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation today. So let's watch this documentary together. Again, we're doing a reaction video to this. I will stop it at times. We're going to interject some things and we'll continue. Then I'm going to show you another video that's going to interject some stuff. So it's going to be interesting. So we're going to have a good time with this.
If somebody has the gift of miraculous healing, surely all he needs to do is to prove it. But let's face it, we've been battling with COVID, and the so-called miracle workers went into hiding together with us.
Okay, first of all, that's the so-called miracle workers. In other words, he's equating this to any individual that believes in Mark 16. Jesus commissioned the church, not the apostles only, the church. He appears to the church. He appears to the apostles then, but this commission was not just to the apostles of that day. We're going to prove all this to you if you'll just bear with me. He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. I mean, in Mark 16, verse 14, he rebuked the hardness of their heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Now watch what it says here. And these signs will follow those who believe. He didn't say these signs will follow only you. Remember, who's he addressing here, church? The apostles, the 11 here. He didn't say these signs will follow you who believe. He said it will follow those who believe. So what was their commission? Go and preach the gospel to the whole world. Baptize them in the name of Jesus that they may be saved. And if they don't, they'll be condemned. And he says, and then in verse 17, Mark 16, 17, these signs, what are these signs? We're going to show you in just a second. We'll follow those who believe, of those of the world that are getting the gospel spread to them. Look what he says. In my name, they, not just the apostles, they who believe will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands, look what it says here, on the sick, and they will recover. Now, let me give you another one. This is John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, not just you, not just the apostles of that day, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, I'm going to go back to this video. Listen to what he says here.
And the so-called miracle workers went into hiding together with us.
That is not true. Not everyone who believes in Mark 16 and may have the gift of healing, 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to dig deeper into that if you hang on with this. Not everybody did this. Again, he's painting a broad brush and saying that everyone who believes in the gifts of the Spirit believes that we can lay hands on the sick and that they shall recover. He's saying that every one of them went into hiding. It's absurd, guys. It's not true.
Cessationism is the view that certain miraculous gifts that stood as signs of an apostle, speaking in tongues, healing, prophecies, interpretation of tongues, gifts like that, ceased with the apostles.
Certain miraculous gifts. Now, we're going to show you today which gifts they believe cease from operation. And look, it's a big shock which ones they believe stopped operating. And which ones still operate. It's really, I'm being facetious here because it's not really a shock when we start breaking it down and show you what they believe still is in operation today and what the Holy Ghost has decided to stop operating through the body of Christ. Okay?
That stood as signs of an apostle.
Signs of the apostle. Again, that's not in the Bible. The Bible calls it the gifts of the Spirit, not the gifts of the apostles. Okay? So just wanted to let you know.
Speaking in tongues, healing, prophecies, interpretation of tongues, gifts like that, ceased with the apostles.
According to who? This guy? According to John MacArthur? According to these Reformed theologists? Because, look, I don't know what about you, but I see them still in operation today. I'm still seeing people heal. We're going to talk about all this. We'll get to it.
Cessationism has fallen out of favor because commitment to the authority of Scripture has fallen out of favor.
When you turn on Christian TV, you don't see expositors of Scripture, John MacArthur or Steve Lawson.
Well, I partially agree with that. I don't really watch Christian television because it's been saturated with false prophets and false teachers. So I don't necessarily, that's Justin Peters who's speaking here. I don't completely disagree with that. But here's where I have a problem with it. He's about to equate everyone who believes in the supernatural, believes in the miraculous, believes in the gifts of the Spirit. He's going to equate us all with these individuals who he says is the poster child for any individual who believes that these gifts are still in operation today. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to have a big problem with this.
You see Joel Osteen, Joseph Prince, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, Joyce Meyer, Paula White. That's who you...
And again, I don't sit under any of these people. I never promote them. I don't watch them. I don't listen to them. I don't sit under their teachings. I have major problems with all of those individuals that he just named. But again, these guys will put us all in the same lump with this. And that's what I have a problem with.
You see, because that's the mainstream.
Speaking in tongues.
You're going to speak out of your spirit. Don't worry about what it sounds like.
Our understanding of speaking in tongues must be guided by the scriptures, not our feelings.
They were known languages that were capable of interpretation, and not everybody speaks in tongues.
If God speaks, it must be infallible, inerrant, and authoritative.
And the Lord said to me, "Will you howl for me?"
Okay, stop. Again, this nonsense right here, guys, does not represent all charismatic and Pentecostals. We don't affirm this. This, what you're about to see right here, bugs me and it irritates the fire out of me because these guys are pulling videos. This is from the Toronto, and again, let me look at me, the quote unquote Toronto blessing, where this stuff was filled with this stuff, and it was a Kundalini spirit that was operating through this. Now, again, a Kundalini spirit, you go study this out. This is has its origins are in Eastern religions. This is a demonic spirit that its manifestations are these bizarre, weird manifestations like you're about to see right here. They're going to show you this clip, and they're going to try to equate this with charismatic and Pentecostals where they're slithering like snakes, they're howling like wolves, or barking like dogs. They are shaking and convulsing and shaking their heads uncontrollably. That is not the Holy Ghost. Okay, I'm just letting you know, the Holy Ghost, the real Holy Spirit is not going to make believers bark like dogs, howl like wolves, and slither like snakes. Guys, come on, use some discernment about you. Snakes, wolves, and dogs are all illustrations in the Bible that are equated with negative connotation. Dogs, the psalmist referred to as a man returns to his own ways or his own, he reverts back to his sinful life like a dog returns to his own vomit. Paul talked about vicious dogs in the body of Christ. Jesus talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. A serpent in the Bible represents Satan. So slithering like snakes, barking like dogs, and howling like wolves are demonic manifestations. It is not the Holy Ghost. But these guys, again, are painting a broad brush and they're equating all charismatic and Pentecostals with this nonsense.
I said, don't ask me to do that, Lord.
There's no longer the need for the gift of prophecy, speaking forth divine revelation from God.
We have now...
Okay, that right there... First of all, Joel chapter 2, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What are you going to do with that? It was initiated, Acts 2, and it's still going. Then you've got, in the book of John, Jesus said, when he, the comforter, the Paracletos, comes, he will not speak of his own accord, but he will speak that which he hears of the Father, and he will show you things to come. Future tense. Okay? That's just two scriptures, guys, that completely refute that.
The whole counsel of God, this word,
is the final word.
The apostolic gifts have gone. They were never intended for our generation.
Says who? Who says this? Wow, they were never intended for our generation. This guy speaks as if he's an ambassador for Christ, that he knows firsthand that these gifts were never meant for our generation. That is, guys, listen to me. To make such a statement like that, you are literally, in my opinion, you're blaspheming the God of heaven. You're telling me that the God who created the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, the beast of the field, the birds of the air, he created everything, where all of humanity, he created us, birthed the church, and you're going to tell me and tell us that he can no longer do this. He can't do miracles. He can't do healing. He can't use these gifts. Why? Because you say so? This is absolutely absurd. It's crazy. I would never make a statement like this. This is just, man, it's just so cringe. It is so cringe.
We have everything that we need from the Holy Spirit today.
It's hard.
Including the gifts.
Anyone who's gone through that to come back and take a serious.
See, stop showing this nonsense. This is not us. Listen, our audience that's listening to this right now, I hope to God you don't relate to this nonsense, because if you call this the Holy Ghost, you need to get delivered. We need to set this straight. This is not the Holy Spirit right here.
Faith in Christ, focused on the gospel rather than focused on these phones.
And again, I love how they try to say that charismatic and Pentecostals do not focus on the gospel. It's just so condescending.
We need miracles.
We don't need miracles. All right, now I want to show you. I loved what Ruslan, he pointed out some stuff here that I think is very interesting, and I want you to hear this. So let's watch this, and then we're going to get into the meat of this teaching. We're not just going to do reaction videos today and just some talking points. We're going to dig into the scriptures, and we're going to see what God's word says about this. So let's just check this out real quick.
Years ago, the prosperity gospel was just a small part of the larger Pentecostal charismatic movement. Now it has swallowed the whole movement.
Mm-hmm.
The whole movement is predicated on giving people the products of God, but not God.
The whole movement. So Mr. MacArthur says every charismatic and every Pentecostal is doing this. Okay.
The products of Christ, but not Christ.
Pause it. Now, the hasty generalization fallacy is on full display.
Right.
These are extremely bold claims by someone that, outside of him talking about this and Calvinism and some of his dispensational views, has some good Bible teaching. But these are some bold claims to say that everyone who's a part of this is a swindler. Okay.
Thank you.
And I'm going to get to why here in a moment. And then there's a punchline. Go ahead.
They're not looking for Christ. Let me have Christ whether I'm sick or well.
Amen.
Let me have Christ whether I'm rich or poor.
Amen.
Let me have Christ whether I'm alive or dead. Let me have Christ for my sins, and Christ for my guide, and Christ for my power, and Christ for my king.
Amen.
I don't care whether I have anything but Christ. That's not what you hear today.
John MacArthur has a $15 million net worth. I'm not mad at John MacArthur for having a $15 million net worth. I'm really not. But this notion that everyone who is charismatic is a swindler.
Thank you.
While John MacArthur has multiple properties all across Southern California in some of the most expensive places of the world to live, multiple properties, and then accusing everyone in a hasty generalization, while you're living in a castle, respectfully, that you don't care about progressing, that you don't care to pray for progress in your career, progress in your finances, progress in your relationships, and that anyone that does care to pray about those things, that desires to get some degree of breakthrough, is a swindler all the way. All this comes full circle, amazing. So, because again, the claim that, why is this relevant? I'm going to tell you, Travis, listen very carefully to me. What was the claim? Those who are charismatic are selling the products of God without God. They're swindlers. They're
And can I say, listen, for us, for End Time Headlines, we don't. You see this stuff right here? We've had people message me, email me, because they wanted a coffee mug. How much are the coffee mugs? We don't sell them. We don't sell any products. Our app is free. You go to our website, there's not a store. There's no t-shirts. There's no sweatshirts. There's no books. There's no novelties. There's no coffee mugs. We don't sell any. We don't sell CDs. We don't sell DVDs. We don't sell we don't charge you to watch any of our videos. So, and I don't like labeling myself as charismatic or Pentecostal or Baptist or Protestant or Methodist or Presbyterian. I don't like labels. But if you are going to equate me, because I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, and I believe in speaking in tongues, if you're going to label me as charismatic Pentecostal, are you calling me a swindler? Because I'm not selling you anything. I'm giving you the God. Are you going to accuse me? Are you putting me in this category as someone who is not telling you about Christ? Not preaching the gospel? Because last time I checked, we have thousands of videos and we put Christ in center front row. We preach the cross. We preach the blood of Jesus. We preach repentance. We preach that today we're still engaged in spiritual warfare. We preach all of this. But yet, according to Mr. MacArthur, because I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and I believe that that the Spirit of God is still alive and working and operating in the earth, and the gifts are still with the Holy Spirit, and He still distributes those gifts as He wills. Because again, nowhere in the 66 books of this Bible is it called the gifts of the apostles. It's not there, guys. You won't find it. All right, let's go back to this video.
They're money hungry. I don't know how you make that sort of claim by putting your name on a study Bible that you sell, making,
come on,
amassing a fortune, millions and millions of dollars, right. $15 million net worth, amassing multiple properties around Southern California, yet anyone who desires these things is a swindler.
Yep.
And is money hungry. And let's look at the price of the conference. Now, this is something that has them catching backlash from even some people in their own camp. That when you go to the price of the conference.
Listen to this, okay? So they always want to accuse charismatic Pentecostals for whatever, selling merchandise. None of this stuff is relevant to me, guys, because, again, our ministry, the Lord took me out of a brick and mortar church years ago. He called me into this right here. This is my pulpit. What you see right here, this is my church. This is our pulpit. We're reaching people internationally around the world, not just the United States, through a microphone, through a video. This is our ecclesia. This is our church. You people, many of you guys are family to us. You are our church. This is, and I know it's not the wineskin that you, maybe you're used to, but everything he's, the camp of MacArthur and all them, and what we're talking about, this doesn't relate to us. So, but I have brothers and sisters out there that they do pastor a brick and mortar church. They do hold conferences, and not all of them hold charge. They don't have a cover charge to get in there. They don't have, you don't have to register to get into and pay a certain amount to get into the conference. But then there's others, because of their venues, because of the circumstances that they're in, they do have to charge a certain amount for individuals to get in. Okay, but here's this is what's mind-blowing, is this group of individuals accused the charismatic Pentecostals of swindling people for money. Look at this. The conference that has already taken place, this is past tense, it's already taken place on October 3rd to the 5th. It's already, this is old news, it's been through, but this was held at MacArthur's church at Grace Community Church in California. It wasn't a venue, it wasn't a stadium, it wasn't a conference center, it was in his church. And look at the cover chart. Look at the charge that they charged here. Now listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a $300 conference. That's happening at John MacArthur's own church. And children, students, age 6 to 17, is $249. Something is not adding up. If it's all about just never selling the word of God and never fleecing the word of God, right, and never doing all these things, I don't understand the justification in saying these guys over here, who by the way, don't charge for any of their events, as far as I know,
right,
in terms of...
Who's these guys? We should define that.
Specifically the Demon Slayers guys, who I have public disagreement with. On a couple of things, you can watch my interviews with
not
them.
The Benny Hinn's.
Not the Benny Hinn's.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the Benny Hinn's. I'm specifically talking about my brothers from Remnant Radio and my brothers who I'm close with, Saldivar, Pagani, those guys, who I disagree with on things, all of that. They're about to do an arena, a 20,000-seater arena for free. Now, they take up a donation and what have you. They don't charge for deliverance. Which, again, we have some disagreements on what that may look like. But their events are free. And the accusation is they're money hungry while at the same time doing an event at your own church, in your own venue. That's Grace Community Church. That's John MacArthur's church for $300. While having a $15 million net worth and your name on the Bible, a commentary Bible. Which, again, I'm not the one saying that he's money hungry. I'm just saying this is oddly ironic. The sheer irony.
This is the absolute epitome of before you start pointing out the speck in your brother's eye, get the plank out of your own eye. That's what this is. This is what Ruslan is calling him out on.
And the sheer detachment and the sheer lack of self-awareness is insane to me that you can make these sorts of accusations about guys who are not charging anything while charging $300 for a conference and $249 for children. In all of this, and again, my deeper issue is not even...
So if myself, my wife, and my two kids went to MacArthur's church to pay $1,500 so that these group of people can get up there and tell me that God doesn't do what the Bible says he is able to do. Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. So I want to pull away from this. We're done with this right now. Okay. So I just wanted to show that this is how absurd this is. Now we're going to get into the meat of this. Okay. So we've went about 30 minutes, 25 minutes into that. Now I want to give you another 20 minutes or so. And I want to get into the meat of this. All right. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, that's going to land us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul begins to speak to the church of Corinth through a letter, and he starts talking about these spiritual gifts, and he gives you definition. He gives you the understanding of this. In verse 4, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, he said, there are diversities of gifts, or there is different types of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another, gifts of healings. Now, this is different than in Mark 16. Everyone is capable of laying hands on the sick and praying the prayer of faith, James chapter 5, Mark 16, and receiving their healing. But then there is what's called the gift of healings. There's individuals who God has willed and marked out and that uses them to operate in a deeper level or a more defined or definitive level of healing. And again, look what this says here. Then there's the working of miracles. There's another, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse tongues, or New King James says different kinds of tongues. Now this is different than the gift of tongues. This is the diverse tongues, gift of diverse tongues. What this is praying for an individual and they are of a different ethnicity. And if you have this gift, you can begin to lay hands on them and pray for them in their dialect through the Spirit. And God will pray, the Holy Spirit will speak through you. You'll speak in their dialect. They will understand this and it will edify them. This is different than your prayer language that Paul talks about when he says, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. And he says, I will pray in my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. Paul talks about this. He talks about, I will pray, I will pray the language of heaven. This is not the gift of diverse tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now, I'm not going to get into a whole deep teaching on this because it would take too long. What we're centering on and focus on is the doctrine of cessationism. So I hope you guys understand that. We'd have to do a whole different teaching. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as he wills. The point I'm making here is there is, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there is 9 gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit distributes to each individual as he wills. Now I want to go down here to, let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're still in the same chapter 12. Let's go down here to verse 28. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues are all up. Now, look what he says here. First of all, he says that God has gifted these to the body of Christ, to the ecclesia. Again, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Now, watch. Look what he says in verse 29. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have gifts of healings? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. Look what he says, verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. Now notice the Apostle Paul tells the church of Corinth to desire the best gifts. Now this camp tells you to despise the gifts. But Paul says, desire the gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. Not only did he say desire the gifts, the Bible uses a real interesting term, and he says we are to covet the gifts. And Paul even says that we're desire the best gifts. You say, well, Brother Ricky, what's the best gifts? The best gifts to have, listen to me, and needed in the operation of the church is the gifts that are needed for that hour. What do you mean? In other words, if I've got a sister that comes into the church who has an infirmity or a sickness and she needs healing in her body, I don't need the gift of tongues. I need the gift of healing to be operating in that church so that we can lay hands on her and that God can bring healing to her body. That is the best gift. However, if I've got a foreigner that comes in, someone of a different ethnicity that comes into my church, whom I am limited to, I can only speak English. So if someone comes in who is a foreigner to me, who is of a different ethnicity than me, and they speak in Arabic, they speak in Hebrew, they speak in Spanish, and I can't interpret what they're saying in the natural, then if I know an individual in my church who has the gift of diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues, I'm going to have them come and pray for them. So in order that the Holy Spirit can use them to pray for them in their dialect, that would be the best gift that's needed in that time. Now, the key, guys, again, without getting into this, the key is the whoever is the apostle or the shepherd over that church, he needs to know his church. He needs to have a personal relationship with his church. He needs to know those who labor among him so that he can know who to call on in those situations. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a whole different teaching for another time. Now, you say, well, Brother Ricky, why is these gifts, if these gifts are still operating in the church, why are so many people neglecting them and despising them? Well, there's, guys, it's not a one single answer for that. I want to give you some reasons why. All right. Number one is they're just simply neglected. The gifts are neglected. Number two, they're ignored. Many churches, they not only they neglect the gifts of the Spirit, but they just completely ignore them. Number three, this is a big one. They're misunderstood because of improper teaching and edification. Number four, and this goes right along with it, they're simply not being taught. So you have ignorance of the Scriptures. Look, when you go back to 1 Corinthians 12, look what Paul said here. Right off the bat, he goes in his whole discourse about spiritual gifts. Look what he opens his letter up with 1 Corinthians 12. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, my brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." Did you see that? So Paul even said he doesn't want the church to remain ignorant. But sadly, a lot of Christians are ignorant of this because they're not taught it behind pulpits. Okay, here's another one. Many people in the body of Christ, they don't operate in these gifts and they don't seek these gifts because they're being discouraged from being taught that these gifts are in operation by their denominations. So this goes with this sensationist fall in this category. They're being discouraged from even receiving these gifts or believing in them. Here's another one, and this falls in that camp as well. They have concerns of false manifestations or counterfeit or the fear of the fake. Let me say that again. Fears and concerns over false manifestations, counterfeit manifestations, and fear of the fake and phonies. Sensationists have created an entire movement built around creating a straw man complex over using people as examples that are operating in a false Holy Spirit. Hello, that's what we talked about a while ago with the barking, the howling, the growling, the slithering like snakes. That is of a, listen guys, Paul said in his writings to the church of Galatia, to the church of Corinth, he said, I fear that, he said that you will begin to be swallowed up by a different Jesus or another Jesus. He said, another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. That's what he's talking about here. So there is, I'm not saying today that there's not false manifestations. I'm not saying that there's not a counterfeit. And I'm not saying that there is fakes, phonies, and charlatans out there, because there is. Oh, there absolutely is. But guys, listen to me. I am not going to allow the fear of the false, the fake, the counterfeits, and the deception, I'm not going to allow that to push me away from the real and the authentic. Can I say that one more time? Come on, this is so good. Guys, I guarantee you, you're not going to be afraid to go to your bank and get a withdrawal of cash into your hands because you're so afraid of the counterfeit money out there. Of course you're not. You're not going to go to your bank and say, you know, I would take a payment in cash, but there's so many counterfeit $100 bills and $50 bills and $20 bills out there that I'm just not going to accept that cash. Really? Come on. What I'm trying to tell you is don't let the fear of the fake, the counterfeit, and the phony push you away from the real, the authentic, and what God has willed for you to have in this hour. Let me get on with this. Then there's concerns of believers being over emotional and fanatic. Over emotionalism and fanaticism. Well, guys, yes, of course there's going to be over emotionalism and fanaticism. Guys, I can take you to a sports game. And I know people, listen, I like sports, but I don't love sports. Now, I know people that love sports. They don't like sports. They love sports. I know. Listen, I like sports. I like the Atlanta Braves baseball team. And I've gone to many, every single year, I go to at least two or three baseball games a year. I take my sons. We go, we enjoy it. We like it. But I don't love it. I don't have a season pass. If I miss a game, I'm not going to be in tears and shambles and have emotional distress and distraught over it. I am not going to sit out in a stadium when it's pouring down raining and 45 degrees to watch the Braves play. There's a difference between love and like. Just like there, what I'm trying to say is there is, just like in sports, there's people that are over emotional and are considered to be fanatics versus individuals that just enjoy the game. Well, guys, that same notion can be said in church. Listen, you got people that show up to church, they punch the clock, they show no emotion. They show no expression of emotion at all. They don't raise their hand in church. They don't get excited about God. They don't express it verbally. But then you get people that's been saved, been delivered, that's been set free, that's been pulled out of drugs, that's been pulled out of alcoholism, that's been pulled out of abuse. Come on. And the Bible says he that's been delivered of much loves much. He that's been forgiven much loves much. So listen, don't criticize a believer who you consider to be over emotional and is a fanatic, because you don't know what they've been pulled out of, been delivered out of, and saved out of. So this, again, this is just ridiculous here. And here's another one. Ready? This is a big one. Many pastors do not want the negativity and the backlash that comes from allowing the supernatural of the Holy Spirit operating in the church. We don't want tongues in our church because we don't want visitors to think they're nuts. We don't want people praying in the Holy Ghost. We don't want people getting too excited. We don't want people expressing too much emotionalism. We don't want these gifts and the Spirit of God operating in our church, an expression of liberality, because we don't want to be embarrassed by Him. Could you imagine standing before God and telling God that you were embarrassed of the Holy Spirit? I don't want to do that. But I'm just telling you, these are reasons why that you're not seeing a lot of these gifts operating in the church. And unfortunately, a lot of these are what these sensationalists believe. All right, let's go to Acts 2:39. Here is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the promise of the Father that Jesus said, go yea into the city of Jerusalem, go into the upper room, tarry and wait for the promise of my Father. So they went, there was 500 brethren, but only, but it was shaved down to 120, 380 left. They couldn't wait. They didn't want to tarry, but it was 120, 120 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost in the upper room in Acts chapter 2. Peter stands up because there was some confusion. There needed to be clarity. Peter stands up. He tells them that this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And he talks about this, the Spirit of God would be poured out in the last days. Then he gets to 39, Acts 2:39, and he says, for the promise, this promise of the Holy Spirit is to you, that's present tense, the day that Peter stood up and said it, and to your children, that's the next generation that would come up after them. But then he says, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God may call. Or the as many as the Lord our God will call. So not only was the gift for Peter and the apostles of his day, but it was for their children, and it was for all those who were afar off, as many as the Lord our God would call. When you look up this Greek word here, when you look up the Greek wording of this, it is to perpetual generations. So, hello, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was not just for the early church and the apostles. It was for everyone who would believe, even this day. Now watch this. According to these guys, according to the sensationists, there is no more apostles. There is no more prophets. It's interesting because they believe evangelists and pastors and teachers are still here. But according to them, the apostles and prophets are gone. They're no longer in operation. Even though right here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why, Brother Ricky? Why did he give apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Why is the fivefold ministry important in the ecclesia today? Verse 12, he tells you, ready? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hello, this is why we need these offices in the body. We need all of them today, and they're still in operation. Watch this. We need these in the body of Christ for the work of ministry, the edifying of the body, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Friends, none of us are going to completely become mature and full until the Lord comes back. That's the whole point. We are continually maturing. We're continually being edified. We're continually being fed until we come to the fullness of maturity of waiting and anticipating the return of the Lord and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. Most sensationists believe that certain gifts have ceased from operating. Now, of course, it's conveniently the supernatural gifts. So prophecy, miracles, faith, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues. According to them, the ones that remain are, now here's the gifts that they believe have ceased. And conveniently, they're all supernatural gifts. Prophecy, miracles, diverse tongues, interpretation of tongues. According to the sensations, all this has been done away with, ceased from operation in the fourth century. But conveniently, they believe that faith, discerning of spirits, wisdom, and knowledge is still in operation today. Again, according to them, that once the New Testament was complete in the fifth century, there was no longer the necessity for these gifts. Again, the supernatural gifts, prophecy, miracles, diverse tongue, interpretation of tongues, all these, they're no longer needed in the church. But we've got a problem. First of all, Paul calls these gifts, right? They're gifts of the Spirit. Now, according to the Apostle Paul's writing in Romans in the 11th chapter of the 29th verse, he said, for the gifts, plural tense, and the calling of God are, your King James says, without repentance. The Greek word here is irrevocable. In other words, translation, the gifts, plural tense, and the calling of God are irrevocable, meaning once he gives you these gifts, he doesn't take them back. Oh, you didn't hear me, because you need to hear this before I go further. All the gifts that God gave you, the calling that God gave you, when he gives you these gifts, he doesn't retract them. They're without repentance. They're irrevocable. Now remember, Peter stood up, Acts 2:29, and said, this gift that is being poured out is for you, for your children, and for those that are afar off. Okay? Number two point is, the last time I checked, the salvation is a free gift. Now these guys, we're talking about mostly all Calvinists, Reformed theologists, Southern Baptists, Independent Baptists, all of these teach and hold firm. I'm talking white knuckle, hold firm to the belief that it is absolutely impossible to lose the gift of salvation. But the same group will get up and tell you that the gifts of the Spirit have been somehow lost since the fourth and fifth century, or the Holy Spirit has retracted and ceased from operating and giving these gifts to the body of Christ today. We have another problem. If what they say is true, we've got a really big problem when you start studying church history. Because in the 12th century, long after the 5th century, when according to them, from the 4th century on, fifth century latest, fourth century earliest, the gifts of the Spirit have ceased to operate in the church, in the earth. No longer needed, no longer operating, done, over with. But we got a problem, because in the 12th century, Hildegard of Bingen sung in tongues. This was documented. These were even called the concert in the Spirit. They were singing in the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's in 1 Corinthians, if you didn't know. 14th century, the Moravians spoke in tongues and called this the evacuations of the Spirit. This was language they were given, this manifestation, this move of God. In the 17th century, the French prophets spoke and accompanied by interpretations. They spoke in tongue and they gave interpretations of the tongues. 17th century, also you had the early Quakers who spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then you had the 1800s. You had Edward Irving, who was of the Catholic Apostolic Church, who experienced the vocal gifts of the Spirit. Fast forward, you had 1886, Murphy, North Carolina, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In the 1900, you had an outpouring in Kansas. 1906, in California, where MacArthur's based out of, you had the Azusa Street Revival with William Seymour. Now, their argument is going to be, none of this was of God. It was of the flesh. It was emotionalism. Or they'll even take it a step further, which is very dangerous, treacherous ground, and they will call it the working of Satan. Now let's go back to the church of Corinth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to back up a little bit. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to show you what Paul address the church here. Look what he says here. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, and all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Look what he says here in verse 7. So that you come short in no gift. Paul desires that the church of Corinth comes short in no gift. Look what he says here. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who also will confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is saying the whole purpose for you to have these gifts, again, so that you can be edified, you can be equipped, so that you can go out and fulfill the Great Commission, eagerly waiting till the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, now I want to take you to, this is the big gun. This is the WMD, the weapon of mass destruction that sensationists, the Reformed theologists, the Southern Baptists, the Independent Baptists, this is their WMD, the weapon of mass destruction that they like to use against charismatic and Pentecostals to prove once and for all that tongues, miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, all of this stuff has been done away with in the fourth century. This is the scripture right here. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the passage. So we're going to read this. Let's dig into this. Ready? All right, here it is. 1 Corinthians 13. Though, this is Paul the apostle speaking, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. That's a supernatural tongue. That is not tongue. That is not a language that can be understood by other people. I just want to preface that. I want to make that known right there. He said, I will speak with tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love. I want you to say not love. Now, there's a reason for this. Context is everything in Scripture. We've taught this hundreds of times. All right. Although I speak the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Why? Because even though you can speak the tongues of angels, if you don't have love, you're not operating in love, you're not operating in compassion, then now you're making a bunch of noise. Okay? Now he goes on, though I have the gift of prophecy, again, cessationists say that's done, it's over, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Again, they say that's over with. You don't need that. You've got the Bible. It's complete. You don't need to understand mysteries. You don't need to understand knowledge. Okay? And though I have all faith, they don't have a problem with faith though. Faith that you can remove mountains, but you have not love. So we're still talking about love. I am nothing. Ready? We're going to keep going. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I have given my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long, is kind. He goes through all this about love. It doesn't envy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Everyone should agree with me right here that he's still in the context of not having love. Everybody agree here? All right, let's go to verse 8. Love never fails. But, now here we go. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Okay? Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, ready? Let's read on, because this is what they're going to teach you. Every one of them, I've dealt with these guys. I know. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect, somebody say that which is perfect, has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now notice, I want to home in here. Ready? Prophecies and tongues. According to them, prophecies will fail, tongues will cease, and knowledge will vanish away. Keep that in mind. Prophecies fail, tongues cease, knowledge vanish away. All right? Why? Because when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now look what he says here. Now let's go to verse 11. When as a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We're going to get into all this. For now, present tense, Paul's day, we see in a mirror, and this also applies to us dimly, but then future tense, face to face. So what is this? For whatever he's talking about here, he says we will see it face to face. It's a future tense event. But now, present tense, Paul's day, I know in part, but then, future tense, I shall know just as I am known. Now you say, why do you keep emphasizing these things? Because we've got to break this down, guys. We got a big problem, because here we go. Ready? According to these guys, the Reformed theologists, the Calvinists, the Independent Baptists, the Southern Baptists, they will tell you behind their pulpits and these conferences that they want to spend you, that they want to charge you $1,500 for a family of four to go and hear them tell you this. They're going to get up there and they're going to tell you that prophecies have failed, tongues have ceased. But, oh, and by the way, according to them, it's funny because they'll tell you prophecies have ceased prophecies have done away with, they've failed, they're no longer in operation, and tongues will cease. It has ceased to operate, but it's convenient that knowledge is still in the earth. But it's amazing that we'll reference this verse in this passage, but they completely skip over the fact that Paul says here that knowledge will vanish away. Because according to them, in the context of this, they will tell you the reason why prophecies have failed, tongues have ceased, is because that when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Watch this. Ready? They will tell you that which is perfect is the completion of the canon of Scripture in the 5th century. Paul said now he was speaking of his day. Then, when he said, and then, we will be known as we are. Then that which is perfect has come. He's speaking to a future event, right? Well, guys, we got a huge problem here. First of all, Paul did not even know that there would be a New Testament of the Bible when he even wrote his letters. And he consistently quoted from, he didn't quote from the King James. He quoted scriptures from the law, the Torah, and the prophets. Let me say that again. When Paul wrote this in his letter, there was no New Testament. He didn't even know that there would be a New Testament that would be compiled. He quoted from the law, the Torah, and the prophets. If what Paul was speaking of as in then, you say, what are you talking about as in then? Let me go back. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Okay? If the then, if the compiling of the New Testament, if this was the then mentioned here, that would mean the Apostle Paul would have to be alive in the 5th century when the 66 books of the Bible was complete. But the problem is he died 400 years before the New Testament of the Bible was complete in 68 AD. He died. Oh, come on. That I'm telling you, right there was a major revelation to you. Paul, listen to me. If the Bible is the then that Paul is referencing, he would have to be alive at the completion of the Bible. But again, he died 400 years before the New Testament was even compiled. Another problem is the phrase in Greek, that which is perfect. Somebody say is perfect. It's tuteleion in Greek, and it means it's neuter singular, and it's a single event that would occur. Let me say that again. This phrase is perfect is neuter singular in the Greek, and it is referencing a singular or single event that would occur. Friends, I'm here to tell you, when that which is perfect has come was not in reference to the completion of the New Testament. That which is perfect has come is referring to the return of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It would be then that all the prophecies that would be fulfilled and there would be no need in the gifts of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. There would not be need of prophecy. There'd be no need of tongues and interpretation of tongues. There'd be no need of healing or miracles or discerning of spirits. None of these would be needed. Again, why do you think that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I will that you fall short in no gift, waiting for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then he affirms this in 1 Corinthians 13 and says, when that which is perfect, then all these things will be done away with. They will cease from operation. The problem is Jesus Christ has not returned. He has not come back. He has not come back as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if because he has not come back, he created an ecclesia, he created a bride, he commanded the church in the book of Acts chapter 1, he commanded them, not suggested to them, he commanded them to go into the city of Jerusalem, go into the upper room and tarry and wait for the endowment of power from upon high, wait for the promise of the Father that was not just for them, but I've showed you that Peter got up and said that this gift is not just for them. It wasn't just for the children, but it was for all those that are afar off. Jesus said, if you being evil and a father know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And you say, well, Brother Ricky, the gifts of the Spirit and miracles and signs and wonders were only for the early church apostles, and it's not for us today. Okay, let's talk about that. First of all, according to you guys, according to cessationists, the Reformed theologists, and all these camps that believe this stuff, you say that these gifts, these supernatural gifts, the miracles, all this stuff, was only given to the apostles of the New Testament establishment of the church, and it was not to any other believer. We got a big problem here because Stephen was using these gifts in Acts chapter 6, verse 8. He was not an apostle. Philip in Acts chapter 8, the gifts of the Spirit was in operation through him. Philip had two daughters that prophesied. Philip was not an apostle. Ananias, who was converted on the road to Damascus, went to him. Ananias laid hands on him, and God used the gift of healing, and the scales fell off of Paul's eyes, and he was completely healed. Ananias wasn't an apostle. The gifts of the prophecy was also seen in operation all through the New Testament. Acts chapter 10, the household of Cornelius was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues. Agabus was a prophet in the New Testament in Acts chapter 13. Cornelius or his household was not an apostle. Agabus wasn't an apostle. You go to Acts 19, you're in Ephesus, and they were being filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. They were not apostles. You had the church of Galatia, you had the church of Corinth, and you had the church of Thessalonica, all of which saw signs, wonders, miracles, and prophecy, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation, and none of them were the apostles. Friends, I'm telling you, this doctrine has holes all in it. It doesn't hold water. Stop listening to these people who are fulfilling prophecy. Ironically, they are literally fulfilling prophecy by them telling you that these gifts are no longer operating. You say, what do you mean they're fulfilling prophecy? Paul the apostle told Timothy, he said, in the last days, perilous times will come. Hello, how many believes we're there? Dangerous, treacherous, violent times. Turn on your news in case you didn't, if you've been living in a cave somewhere. In the last days, perilous times will come. Look what he says here. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. They'll be headstrong, they'll be haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Ready? Look at this. They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny its power. From such people, turn away. In other words, they will have an expression of religion. They will have a form of religion. They will have religious verbiage. They will be astute in their teachings. They will have degrees of theology, but they will deny the very power of the Holy Ghost. And Paul said, when you see these individuals rise up, he said, turn away from such people. Friends, we're literally, that's what we're talking about here. This is exactly, ironically and consequently, they are fulfilling prophecy by telling us that prophecy can no longer be operating through the church today, telling us that we can't be used in the gift of prophecy, telling us the healings have been done away with, miracles have been done away with, tongues have been done away with. Now, let me go back to 1 Corinthians 13, because I felt like the Lord, when I was reading this, I felt like there was a prompting to go back to this. Again, we covered this, 1 Corinthians 13. This is the WMD, weapon of mass destruction, right here that they use to try to tell you and convince you that tongues have ceased, miracles in operation, but again, consequently, knowledge didn't vanish away, but prophecies are failing, tongues are ceasing. Again, context is everything. From verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 13 all the way down to the last verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or 13, verse 1 all the way to 13. All of it deals with love. And he's telling you through this whole thing that even though these gifts are given to the body, distributed to the body as the Holy Spirit wills, and he desires for us to have them, if we don't have love and we're not operating in love and we're not operating in compassion, look what he says here. Though you prophesy, it will fail. Though you speak in tongues, it will cease. Though you have knowledge, it will vanish away. What he's saying here is the gifts and callings are irrevocable. God didn't take away the gifts. He won't take away these gifts, even if you're backslid. Now, these guys will tell you you can't backslid either. Did you know that? They tell you that you cannot backslide. Even though right here in Proverbs 14, it says that in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. It's amazing. You can't, they say, well, you cannot backslide. And if you backslide, you were never a believer. But Proverbs 14:14 says you can. And it even tells you that a backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. But what Paul is addressing the church of Corinth here in 1 Corinthians 13, he's saying here that, remember, Paul said in Romans that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't take them away. But watch this. Even though you have these gifts, if you have no compassion for people, the love that you have for people begins to stop operating. You have a hardness of your heart. You start backsliding. You start being hateful, mean, and ornery. Then listen, then these gifts will become dormant. They'll go into suppression. I like to use the example as the muscles in your body. The more you use your muscle, the stronger it gets, but the less you use it, you start beginning to develop atrophy where your muscles begin to shrink. This is the way it is. So this is, the more you're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more you're operating in compassion, the more you're operating in love for others. Remember, did you know the Bible says that Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed? He had great compassion for him. That's the key, guys. It's not that God is not going to give you these gifts. The Holy Spirit doesn't want to just give you these gifts so that you can go around and have show and tell and look at me, point the finger at me, how big your platform is and how big your head is because you can operate in these supernatural gifts. No, God wants to distribute these gifts to the body of Christ so that we can be the hands and feet having compassion on the people and seeing people being oppressed and downtrodden and sick so that we can go about and heal all that are sick and oppressed of the devil. Jesus said the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. And he says that this same miracles, these same things that you saw me do, he said, you shall do and greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father. So listen to me. If you're watching this today and you're listening today, I hope that this has shed some light on this stuff. I hope that it's revealed some stuff to you. I'm telling you today that not only is the Holy Spirit alive and well in the earth today, but the gifts of the Spirit are alive and well in the earth today. He still and desires to distribute these gifts as he wills. Again, he's waiting on you. If you'll come to him with the same faith that it took to receive the gift of salvation, is the same faith it takes to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and with it comes 9 potential gifts of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to distribute as he wills. So if you're listening to me, you're watching today by podcast, you're listening today, you're listening by Apple, by Spotify, I want you, if that's you today, and you say, Brother Ricky, I earnestly desire this gift, I desire the gift of the Holy Spirit, I desire to be used with these gifts for the edification of the body, I want to heal the sick, I want to cast out devils, I want to do the work that God called me to do in the earth, the Great Commission, if that's you, I want you to lift your hands, because listen, I don't need to lay hands on you. The household of Cornelius, Peter never laid a hands on any one of them. And later on in the book of Acts, they didn't lay hands on any of them. They spoke the word as they begin to preach Jesus, as they begin to preach the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Ghost came upon those listeners and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So if you'll just, I'm telling you, if you'll receive today, if you can lift your hands, lift your hands. If you can give me your attention, give me your attention. Just come into agreement with me right now. And I'm going to pray that you receive the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. And as you receive this gift, you become a candidate for the gifts of the Spirit today. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I've delivered this word to the best of my knowledge and understanding of the interpretation of the scriptures that have been given. God, I know from personal experience, God, I have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I remember the day and the hour in which I did. I remember, God, I have seen the healing, God, healing power of Jesus in operation today. Father, I thank you that I have had the privilege to be in prayer circles and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I've had the privilege of being in prayer circles and lay hands on those individuals that were afflicted with infirmities that the doctors and physicians said that they'll be on medication the rest of their life, only for them to leave the prayer meeting after being touched in the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, they left, went back to the doctor, and the doctor could find no trace, no evidence of the sickness and the infirmity that they had were afflicted with to begin with. God, I thank you, Lord, that I even know dear friends of ours recently that they took their child to the doctor. The doctor told them that he had scoliosis. His spinal cord would inflict him to the point where he would never be able to play in sports the rest of his life. But Lord, they lay hands on him. They believed in the report of the Lord. They believed that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, and you still heal today. They felt the quickening and the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, he was touched in his body. They went back to the same physician. They did x-rays. They did tests. The physician pulled up the x-rays. There was no trace of scoliosis in his body. Not only is he playing sports, but Lord, I thank you that he's a superior athlete even at an early age. Why? What am I talking about today? God, I thank you, Lord, that you gave me a dream 15 years ago, that you showed me the firstborn of my children. You showed me him before he was ever conceived in the womb. You showed me that he would be a boy. You told me what his name would be. And then 5 years later, he would be born, and he came out exactly the way that you showed me him in a dream. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about, Lord God, not only do I believe that you are still operating in the church today and in the body of Christ today through the miraculous, through the supernatural, through the gifts of the Spirit. Not only do I know, but I firmly believe, and I'm a walking witness, and I've seen it firsthand. But God, I'm asking for the sake of the listeners and believers and watchers that are online today, that are live, that are by the rebroadcast of this. There are some people that are watching, listening. They're sick in body. They're afflicted in body. Lord, there are people here that need and they desire to be baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. They want and desire and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, for the sake of them, Lord, let it be done according to their faith as they lift their hands where they're at, right where they're at, where they're listening, where they're coming into agreement, Lord. Whether praying and believing for and healing their body, whether praying they're believing for supernatural direction, whether believing for the gift of the Spirit of God, whether believing for the gifts of the Spirit, the 9 supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. God, I come into agreement with them. You said, Lord, if there be any 2 agreeing and touching and believing in any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. I thank you even now, Lord, as they got their hands lifted, as they begin to pray, as they begin to open their mouth, as they begin to pray and believe for these things. Lord, I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would invade their living room, invade their office space, invade their kitchen, in their bedroom, their vehicle, wherever they're at. I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would come upon them and they would receive this precious gift. In Acts 2:29, that Peter said, this gift is not only for them, but it's for their children and those that are afar off. God, I thank you today that you're still pouring out your Spirit upon all flesh. There's somebody listening even now. There's somebody that's watching, a mother, a father, a grandparent that's watching, and you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You've got some of these gifts operating in your life, but you've been in your prayer closet. You've been at the altar of your church, and you've been interceding. You've been praying for your grandchildren, for your children, and you've been pleading with the Lord, saying, Lord, I want my son. I want my sons. I want my daughter. I want my daughters, my grandchildren. I want them to receive this precious gift of the Holy Spirit, because you said they can have it. I declare declare today this is your hour. I declare that this is your day. I declare that this is your season. I declare that today they will receive based on your faith, based on their faith. The Bible says that those who come to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Come on, Lord, I thank you today that that people are being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's people that I don't know who this is for today, but your denomination has discouraged you from believing. Your denomination has tried to influence you and convince you that this is of the devil, that it's emotionalism, that it is absolutely counterfeit, it's phony, it's fake. But I believe that somebody is being wrecked in the Holy Ghost right now. God is showing up, showing out, and proving Himself who He is. He's showing you today that everything you read about in the New Testament, it was not just for the early church, it wasn't just for the early apostles, but He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is the same. He's operating right now. He's working through somebody right now. You're being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're opening your mouth. You're going to begin to speak in a tongue that you do not know. Yes, you can speak in the tongues of men, but Paul said he had a gift in which he could speak in an angelic tongue. And God is giving you this gift today in Jesus' name. I believe people are being healed in their body. People are being quickened. People are being delivered. People are being set free in Jesus' name. Like the woman with the spirit of infirmity for 18 years, somebody's being set free. Somebody's being delivered. Why? Because God's showing up and showing out, and He's breaking that denominational tradition of men box that you try to put Him in, that people try to convince you that God don't heal today, God don't deliver today. But come on, somebody, their pain's leaving in your body. The infirmity's leaving your body. The sickness is going away. Today is your day, and it's in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody, we pray and receive. Amen and amen. Come on, I know it's went long, guys. We've went well over an hour, but come on, we're not putting God, we're not putting Him in a box. We're not suppressing the Holy Ghost today. We're going to have church today. Well, Brother Ricky, prophecy's going on. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. We've talked about it. But Brother Ricky, there's events going on. We know that. We're going to get to that. But today, we come by today on this October 17th. We come by today on whenever you're watching the rebroadcast. We are having church today. No, we're not in the four walls of a church building, a brick and mortar church. But come on, we serve the Holy Ghost who can step through walls, through your screen, through your microphone, and touch those who need to be touched. Woo! Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please bookmark our website. Download our free app. It's available on Apple, Android devices. Hit yes to push notification, and you're going to be good to go. Again, don't forget on the video of this under the description, you're going to see the link downloaded today. That's how you're going to keep up with us and keep up with our ministry. Listen, if this ministry is a great blessing to you, it encourages you, it equips you, it informs you, whatever the case is, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, we ask you to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit would prompt you to do. You can give, you can support, and you can partner with us in two different ways. You can give electronically. The easiest way is through the app. If you click on that, or go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. It's going to take you an electronic page. When you click on that, you can give by Venmo, you can give by Cash App, you can give by credit card, all that, PayPal, it's going to be there. Or right there on your screen, you can make it out to check or money order. You can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia, and that's going to be 30655. So guys, listen, we're going to sign off for today. On this Tuesday, October 17th, we will be off. We will not be broadcasting tomorrow on Wednesday, the 18th, but we'll be right back here in the studio on the 19th and the 20th. That'll be Thursday and Friday, same time, same place, same channel, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. So until then, may the Lord bless you. May He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. Guys, again, do me a favor. Hit that like button. Hit that share button. Please, it helps us get this stuff out on the algorithms. So God bless you guys tonight. We'll see you Thursday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message.
For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.